I was in prison, and you came to visit me. With these words, Christ challenges each of us to spend time serving those who, because of circumstance or bad choices, can't serve themselves. Welcome to Someone Cares, a faith ministry dedicated to helping us all answer that challenge. For many years, this outreach program has carried healing doses of hope and Christian love behind prison walls and touched the lives of those in desperate need of both. I'm your Someone Cares radio host, Charles Mills. Our guest today knows prison ministry inside and out. He's a medical doctor, an anesthesiologist to be exact, and has worked on projects through his local church to bring hope and healing to those behind bars, specifically at the California Men's Colony, located in San Luis Obispo County in California. Last time he was on our show, he told us about some of the experiences he's had and what he has learned along the way. Today, I'd like for him to put on his scrubs and talk to us about the psychology of incarceration. What happens when the human mind and the human body is taken out of society and placed behind bars? What changes take place, and what can we do to help ease the suffering that being in prison can generate? Dr. Mulder, welcome back to Someone Cares.
Well, thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.
Now, let's begin with the mind, Dr. Mulder. From a scientific standpoint, how does prison time mess with our ability to think and reason correctly? What happens to us when we're shut away from society, sometimes for life?
I think that looking at an extreme example of the incarceration of people on death row is one way to kind of get a perspective, and that is the inmates placed on death row, at least in California, are often subjected to 23 hours of solitary confinement with a light on in their cell the entire time, 1 hour of exercise, solitary exercise in a cage out in the sunshine. And these kinds of conditions, wherever they exist, are a recipe for psychosis. Oh. It's a way of breaking a person down to the point where they have nothing to establish a perspective from. They lose all touch with reality, and it's an injurious, psychologically injurious form of incarceration. Mm-hmm. Most inmates are not subject to those kinds of conditions, and the effect upon them would be very different. I think that most inmates have to deal with three major challenges, and that is, first, fear. Mm-hmm. Although no inmate would want to admit that they were afraid, most of them would not like to admit that, but also a sense of despair and discouragement. Those are the three things that I've seen that most inmates deal with on a daily course.
So how does this fear and despair and discouragement manifest itself when you're sitting across from someone who is fearful, who has despair, who is discouraged? How can you tell? What does it look like?
I think the fear is dealt with, particularly in the male culture, with a rage reaction, retaliation. And I think that there's one of two ways to respond. You either hide in a corner and try and get in nobody's way, or you're out trying to prove you're the biggest, baddest person on the yard. Mm-hmm. Both of those are very toxic environments or very toxic psychological patterns, and both very destructive.
Because you deal with a person's health endlessly. You're a doctor, and that's what you do. How does this affect their health? I mean, this is how they're affected mentally. They have rage, they have retaliation, they have aggression, etc., or they go and hide someplace. What happens to their bodies? What happens inside of them that can cause a chronic condition? And what are some of those chronic conditions?
The anxiety that comes from it is going to manifest itself, of course, in many ways. I think a lot of people are familiar with that. That's something that is not unique to a prison environment. And I think anxiety is one of the big challenges of our culture today.
Yeah.
the inmates that deal with fear on a long-term basis, I think most of them would probably try and associate with someone who can protect them or in a group that can protect them, and that leads to racial tensions and gang tensions and further perpetuates that environment of fear and anxiety. Mm-hmm. The solution almost makes it worse.
And when a person has that next step, that despair that happens, how does that manifest itself? We know about the fear. How about the despair or the discouragement? How do you know someone is despairing and is discouraging when you talk to them?
I think of one of our inmates in our fellowship who described his first moments of incarceration and the sense that his life had now been forever altered in a way that he could not have comprehended. You know, he was a Marine Corps veteran and considered himself a decent guy, and suddenly he's in this situation for the rest of his life. And he describes himself just banging his legs against the bars over and over in a rage as he realized what had just happened to him and what his life was going to be like. And that despair drove him to the brink of self-destruction. And of course, banging your feet over and over against the bars is very self-destructive, but
yes, yeah.
He was in a completely broken state at that point. He had just enough of a background and just enough faith implanted in him at an early age to recognize that this broken state, there was only one way for it to be healed, and if that was God.
Wow.
And it was at that moment that he decided, my life has to take a different direction. My life has to go in a new direction. And the only way it's going to happen is if God helps me through this. That was the beginning. That broken state, that broken condition was the beginning for him of a whole new life. He's still incarcerated 30 years later, and he still deals with all the problems that inmates deal with. But there was a change in his direction that took place at that time and at that moment that gave him the tools necessary to survive.
And that's what you do, Dr. Mulder. That's what Someone Cares does. That's what the people who write these letters in the Pen Friend program, that's what happens. How does that change them? You mentioned that he has hope. How does that change him from the inside out? What does a hopeful person have physiologically and psychologically that a hopeless person doesn't have?
The sense that it's going to be okay. For a person who is in contact with an inmate, writing them a letter, trying to encourage them, I would say every letter, tell your friend that it is going to be okay, that God is going to take care of them, that he will see them through the deepest, darkest hour. This same man that I just mentioned, who had experienced that initial brokenness and despair, he was just denied by the board and sent back 3 years. Most people are probably not familiar with the process of these inmates going before the board, and it's a very rigorous and very critical examination that leaves many of these men despondent and completely discouraged as they're reminded of every single mistake they've ever made in their lives. And that actually happened just last Sabbath to this very man. And what my wife and I did is said, you know, this is going to be the best Sabbath ever. And through our time as we worshiped together and talked and the group sang together, and we just kept saying best Sabbath ever. And you know, it didn't make all the pain go away, but it was good to see a smile come to his face bit by bit as we kept saying best Sabbath ever. And if you can encourage an inmate who is dealing with a deep despair and discouragement and tell them, you know, it's going to be okay, and keep telling them that and always tell them that, I think that it means more to these men than we can realize. And it's a very important thing to always assure them of, because that's the way God works.
Oh, yes.
He is the encourager. It's Satan that's the accuser. And it's Satan that wants to break us down and leave us in a broken, discouraged state. But God is the opposite. He is the encourager. And if you think about that word, encourage, that's putting courage in. It's not just cheering you up. It's putting courage in your heart and soul so that you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be in a state of despair. That you have the courage to deal with whatever difficulties, challenges, and stresses you're going to face on the yard every day.
Wow, those are such encouraging words, and I can see why an inmate would be just changed by that. But you know what? Those words should encourage us as well. We all are in prison of ourselves. We're in prison to sin. We're in prison in this old world, this sinful world. And that same message that we can give to someone in a physical prison, we can also give to ourselves as we are in this physical prison of the world of sin. Am I on the right track saying that, Dr. Mulder?
I agree with you 110%.
Very good. Very good. Well, Dr. Mulder, in closing here, do you have some final motivation for our listeners to become involved in the Someone Cares, for instance, the Pen Friend program, or even in the local ministry to prisoners in their local area? Well, how would you encourage them in 60 seconds?
I would say that so many of these men have never, in their entire incarcerated life, had anybody who wrote them a letter. They feel abandoned. They feel left behind. They feel like they are the forgotten one. And for them to have a word of hope and encouragement to tell them that God cares about you is like a balm to their souls. It's like a glimmer of light in a dark place. It's a chance for them to realize that there is something more. So many inmates are left with that sense of what's the use? What's the point?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And for somebody to tell them it does matter, and it matters a lot, and it matters to me, that can make the difference between life and death in these men. So many men come off their appointments with their board and a rejection, and they have to be put on suicide watch because it just breaks them over and over again. But they need that help, and they need that love and support more than anybody, really, because their conditions are, every day is a different challenge and a different stress.
Dr. Steve Mulder, very involved out there in California with the California Men's Colony in San Luis Obispo County in California. Thank you, Dr. Mulder, for sharing with us and motivating us. These are definitely words of life. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate a chance to talk with you. And God bless all the people in the Someone Cares program writing letters. Their words are words of life and hope, and I really appreciate that ministry.
Amen. Amen to that. SomeoneCares.org is the website. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Steve Mulder reminding you that because of you, someone cares. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to Someone Cares. If you'd like to become part of this vital prison outreach ministry, visit someonecares.org and discover ways you can safely and effectively touch the lives of incarcerated men and women with God's love. Again, that web address is someonecares.org. This program was produced by Lifetalk Radio.